All right, well, today's Bible reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight.
Well, thanks, Jazz, and hello, everyone. It's great again that you're joining with us this evening, and yeah, I'm excited to bring us this message in the next part of our Go series today. So I had a realization this week. I really don't like waiting for things at all, and it was really brought to my attention as I placed yet another online shopping order this week, as I'm sure many of you guys have been doing while you've been at home waiting around. And so I was checking my phone a couple of times a day, waiting for any updates on those tracking details, but really frustratingly, it took a lot longer than expected, even though I'd selected to have Express Post. And so I got really frustrated, because I was really hoping that this order would have arrived by today at least, and it still hasn't, unfortunately. But I was wondering, I don't know whether anyone actually likes waiting. You know, like standing around in a long line, in a queue, waiting to get to the front, perhaps at a shop, waiting to get to that front. Or maybe having to wait for a TV show to air at the set weekly time when it's supposed to come on for you to be able to watch it. Or what about having to wait several days or even weeks to receive correspondence from someone via a physical letter in the post? But those kind of things are a bit foreign to us now, right? Because increasingly in our society, we don't have to rely on those methods that require us to wait in between. We don't have to go out to the shops and wait in long lines because we have online shopping. So the only waiting is to actually receive what we have ordered. And communicating via letters? Well, no, we have instant messaging now, which is fantastic, right? And even with TV, increasingly noticeable is our use of on-demand streaming services where we can watch what we want as soon as we want it and we don't have to wait weeks in between. And I've noticed this in my own life because just last week I had to upgrade the Netflix account that I share with some family members because we all kept using it so much more frequently, absorbing heaps of this content on demand when we wanted it. And it got me thinking that in general, I think as people, we love getting these things that we want as soon as possible, right? It's just kind of how we're being raised now with these different pieces of technology that surround us. And everything is instantly available at our fingertips. And I think it means we're sort of losing skills of being able to have patience and wait because we're just told to get on with things, to get it and get on to the next thing. And if we think about our faith and our relationship with God, perhaps this can even impact this. Like we might want God to give us answers to things immediately, or we might want to see improvement in an area that we're struggling in straight away. Or perhaps we would much prefer that God would bring us out of something difficult and lead us right into the next season, and we could just skip over hard bits in between and get on with it. But I'm not sure that that's the way God operates, because as we see time and time again, God invites us into a journey to go through our lives alongside him. And it's one that isn't necessarily a journey filled with quick fixes and instant results, but it's a journey that's in it for the long run. It's an adventure, right, where we loosen our grip on things just a little bit and allow ourselves to be directed by him. It's this adventure of going with it. And this is something that I've held in tension in my own life because I am a natural planner. I like to set goals and get on with them. And from a young age, I had a fascination with games that simulated real life events. Things like the Game of Life, where you work your way through a series of major life stages and you have different options of what course to take at various points. And to me, especially in my young age, it just made life seem so straightforward and controllable and manageable. And so when I reached my final years of high school, I was trying to plan out my next steps, much like reaching a crossroad point in the Game of Life. I was picking up cars to decide which uni course I would do and what career path that would lead me into and how that would all impact my future. And this is what our society teaches us to do, right? To map out our own paths, to forge our future, and to just get on to the next thing. And so that's exactly what I did. I did a lot of research and I picked my courses and I applied for them and I wanted to get into those agendas. But at some point on the way, I realized that I'd totally left God out of this whole situation, and I was doing all of this planning fully in my own strength. I'd been so busy creating my own life and my own plans that I thought I could control everything, almost like it was kind of this game that I had full control over, and I'd left God out of it. And so at the point when I'd nearly finalized all my plans, I sensed that I just needed to take a step back and to loosen my grip a little and see if God was actually in this. So if we jump into the book of Acts, it opens with these final words that Jazz read out to us, the final words that Jesus gave to the disciples. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So they're told to wait for the Spirit to come because he's going to be the one who empowers them to be sent out on a great mission for God across the world. And this opening to the book really sets the tone for everything that's going to unfold in the chapters that follow, because everything that happens is the direct result of followers of Jesus being empowered by the Spirit and sent out on mission for him. And we see this happen in the next chapter. The Holy Spirit is poured out at Pentecost and the mission begins. And then we see several examples of different people who take up this call and follow God into all different situations throughout Acts. Perhaps the greatest example of this is the Apostle Paul, who has a radical encounter with the risen Jesus that totally changes his life around. And he leaves behind everything of his former life that was completely against God, and then he sets out as an instrument to be used by God. So Paul travels on multiple huge journeys, and this is what fills most of the rest of the book of Acts, describing all the cities he visits and the works that he does through the Spirit's power to lead people to Jesus. And so I think for us, it's helpful to actually visualize this, this map of what his travels looked like. So we have this huge map over here that shows all of Paul's different journeys across kind of this part of the world. And so it all kind of begins in a place called Antioch, right on that corner on the side. And here Paul and Barnabas are sent out after a group of believers in Antioch sense from God that they should send him and Barnabas out on a journey. And so the blue little section in that corner shows how they travel around to a few different cities in that little region in that corner. And this is his first journey of being sent by the Spirit. Then he goes out again a second time, following the green path, and this time he goes on a much wider journey, crossing into heaps of other countries. And there are a lot of moments that we hear throughout Acts where he's prompted by the Spirit to do certain things. A noticeable one is in chapter 16 when he is up here in this corner and he's approaching a border to a place called Bithynia, but for some reason, he hears this prompting from the Spirit to not cross over and go into that country, but to come back down and go to a place called Troas instead. And so we see that part of the journey. He crosses back and then he keeps following whatever path God leads him on step by step. And then we have the whole purple section, which kind of follows the same path as the green one. Again, he's visiting different cities, spreading the gospel to all these different people. And so all these journeys, we can look at it from a distance, but it's such a massive trip. Scholars estimate that Paul traveled nearly 16,000 kilometers on foot. Now, this took place over several years, but that is still an insane distance for him to go because there were no trains or planes or cars back then. It was all on foot or on ship for parts of the journey at sea. And so we just get a sense of how far God led Paul, and this was all step by step by the Spirit. And so I think there are two key elements that we see throughout Acts when we consider Paul's journey and everything that God leads him to do, how he embraces this adventure of really going with God. The first thing is that Paul is attentive, right? He has this spiritual discernment about him. He's able to detect when God speaks to him, and he can hear his voice, and he is able to make good judgments on good advice that people give him and discern the good from the bad. And the whole time he's also keeping the calling that God gave him at the beginning of his journey at the front of his mind. And this is what's directing all of his paths. And secondly, Paul makes himself available to God. He is fully open for God to use him, and he's willing to go wherever that might be, obediently following along with that direction. Now, Paul totally goes with whatever God tells him to do, and as we saw, he laid aside everything from his previous life that was against God to just fully go with God's guidance. And so these two elements of being attentive and available, they go hand in hand. Because if we think about it, there's no use if Paul heard these directions from the Spirit and he knew what he should be doing, but if he didn't make himself available and he decided to just go on with life on his own accord. And alternatively, if Paul made himself available to God, but he had no sense of discernment around where to go and what God wanted him to do with his life, then he wouldn't go anywhere and he wouldn't have been able to complete these huge journeys for God. And so both of these elements are needed to be attentive and available to God. And these are also features that if we desire to partner with God and to go with what he calls us to do, we should seek to emulate these things in our own life as well. And so this whole sense of being attentive and available is something that I've been slowly learning over several years. And it's definitely not my natural tendency, because as I said towards the beginning, I'm a natural planner and I like to know what I'm doing and to get on with those things. But around the time when I was in sort of my final years of high school and my early young adult years, when I was navigating a lot of options, the classic verse of Proverbs 3:5-6 became this key kind of anchor point for me. And I know it's cliche in a way because we know this verse so well, but I just find it so powerful. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. And so during this time, I was really growing in my faith, and I discovered this desire that, yeah, I wanted my life to be one where I would truly follow Jesus and let him be the Lord of my life. And so I wanted to be open to what that could look like. So when I was in year 12, amidst all the activity of preparing for and sitting my HSC and graduation and everything that entailed, I really tried to embrace this posture of being available to God. And so for me, what that looked like is that I laid aside all those grand plans that I had devised in my own thinking, and I decided to come before God with this blank slate. I made a conscious choice to not be pursuing the direction of my life through my own understanding, but I created space to see if God might have other things in store. And so I was, just really trying to grow in my relationship with God during this time. I was spending a lot more time with Him and really growing in my love for Him. And it wasn't just to demand answers or anything, but it was for the relationship's sake. I wanted to know more of God personally. And through all of this, God didn't give me really clear answers about everything, at least not straight away. Because I went through a process over a few months of being open and to research into other options and to think and explore what other things could be out there. And through all of this, I was being prayerful and trying to maintain this attentiveness to what God might be speaking through these things. And so for me, this ended up being that I got some clarity around taking one step, which was after school to take a gap year and to do a Christian gap year program where I could just have a bit more space to consider what might lie ahead. And so, this seemed like a really great option the more I looked into it and I signed up for it. And throughout that year, I had a lot more time for God to be redirecting me and speaking to me. And so through what I experienced and through what I learnt and through having conversations with other wise Christians, I slowly got a picture of not the whole thing, but of the next step. And so for me, that resulted in feeling led to go to Bible college after that point. But so often, every time that I reached another crossroad point where I needed to make a decision on the next thing, I would come to God and I would be like, God, why can't you just give me a clear map? Just lay everything out that I need to know for the course of my life so that I know exactly what you want me to do and so I don't make any mistakes. Because that sounds really convenient, doesn't it? I feel like a lot of us would enjoy a clear direction, a map from heaven that just points out everything we need to know. Because even after I had an entire year in that gap year to have quite a lot of space to be attentive and available, I still didn't get a map of my whole life. Because I don't think that God generally works like that. If He did, we would probably try to go about things our own way. We might be tempted to take shortcuts, to skip over things that seem difficult and we don't like the sound of from a distance. And if we think of the Apostle Paul, we saw the map earlier of how far God led him through his life. And I wonder, if God had given Paul that map at the very beginning of his faith and said, "This is what I want you to do," I don't know whether Paul would have been up for it. It seems pretty intimidating, and there were certainly a lot of difficult parts in his journey. But I think that's the beauty of it, is that God just directed each stage in Paul's travels. And similarly for me, instead of receiving a full-blown map, God has just kind of led me step by step. And somehow I've ended up here today, which is definitely not something that I had in mind a few years back when I was still in school. It was not part of my agenda, but God can lead us anywhere if we're open to His leading. Because as it stands now, I've got vague ideas about what my future could look like, but nothing is clear and locked in. Because what I've found is that every time I try to make my 5 or 10 year plan in my own wisdom, God always ends up having other things in mind. And I think that's a good thing, right? Because God has infinite wisdom and He knows the entire course of our world's history and our own lives. And so we should want to trust that His ways are ultimately higher and greater than what we could come up with. And that's exciting. That's where the adventure is, I think, in seeking after God and making ourselves available to be used by Him. But as we hear about these events in the book of Acts and Paul's huge journey and the command to go to the ends of the earth for Jesus, it can seem like a really distant reality for us today, right? Because we can't go out of our local areas, let alone to distant countries. And even in my own story, perhaps you might feel like your life is somewhat on hold at the moment and there aren't a lot of opportunities in front of you that you're trying to navigate through. So how would any of these things be relevant for us then? Well, I want to draw our attention to the ending of the book of Acts, the final couple of verses. So what has happened is that after a really long journey, Paul ends up setting out for a fourth trip when he's trying to go to Rome. And he goes on a ship and they end up in this dire situation and they're shipwrecked and it's terrible. But he comes out of it and they end up in Rome, which is the furthest point in his travels. And the thing is, though, Paul, when he arrives, he's not able to go about his life freely. What happens is that he's actually placed under house arrest in Rome because of his significant involvement in the spread of Christianity. And so for 2 years, Paul has to stay put in this house, and he is likely chained to a soldier who is constantly monitoring him. For 2 years, he stays put, and it doesn't seem like this ideal situation at all, right? Particularly if we think about the call to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. So Paul is waiting. He's in a house with a soldier by his side. And this is the final thing. This is like the final scene, the book of Acts, which was bursting with so much activity and movement. It doesn't seem like the ideal kind of ending. But here is what happens to Paul during that time. These are the final two verses in Acts. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And so Paul embraced the opportunities that were before him, even in that situation. God was still using him to connect with people and to preach to whoever was around him. And it even says he did it without being hindered at all. And in this time for Paul, it's believed that that's when he wrote the prison letters, which are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And these are incredible pieces of writing that still speak to us today. And they were constructed because of Paul's confinement. So God was still powerfully using Paul, even in that time. He was leading him by the Spirit to speak and to teach and to encourage other people. From the outside, it certainly seemed like he was in a confining situation, all locked up, but the Spirit was still working and his circumstances didn't put a halt on God. And so this is where we can come into the story, because Acts does end with this note of openness and possibility, since we're not actually told exactly how the story ends. And so one scholar puts it like this: the abrupt ending leaves us with the challenge and opportunity to allow the Spirit to write the next chapter in the book of Acts today in and through us. It's such an incredible thing to think about. And so, yeah, we are a part of that great calling that we heard from the beginning of Acts, that we are part of Jesus' call to be witnesses for him wherever we are. There was a famous Christian author in the 17th century called John Bunyan, and he wrote a really famous book called Pilgrim's Progress, which is this incredible novel that takes us on a journey of the Christian faith. And it's actually considered to be probably the best-selling Christian book of all time, aside from the Bible itself. But Bunyan actually spent 12 years of his life in prison because of some of his views that didn't conform to the Church of England at the time. And so during his time in prison was actually when he wrote this book along with others. And he even did a range of other random things during that time as well. He had a bit of a side income to earn money for his family, and he ran church services, and he wrote to people. He even supposedly created an instrument out of one of the legs of a wooden stool that was in his prison cell. He like took this wooden object and carved it out, somehow made holes in it, and turned it into a flute that he would play in prison, which is just the most random thing, but I guess it shows that that's a really creative and innovative thing that he could have done. And although it could have been easy for him to give up and just sit back and wait out his time, he truly went with the situation that he found himself in, and God was able to do things through him even in that time. And I know that these are historical examples from the past, right? Paul in the first century, Bunyan in the 17th, but I wonder what this could look like for us today. Because as we sit here in a situation that seems quite physically similar to theirs, and it might feel like we're in a bit of an endless imprisonment, right? With no purpose. But I wonder, even though for most of us, and I'm so included in this, we want to get out of this situation, right? We want to get out of this limbo space where we're waiting around, waiting for the next thing. We want to move on with our lives. Of course we do. We want to be able to get out and live again. But I think we have a unique opportunity here, and that it'd be a missed opportunity perhaps if we try to just rush out of this time without seeking to really immerse ourselves in it and gauge what God might be saying to us in this season. Because even if it might look like it, if it might not look like it, there are still opportunities for us to find purpose and be led by God in this season. Like, I wonder if people in a few decades or longer will look back at this historical moment that we're in now and go, wow, those people in the 21st century, although they experienced really, really challenging years, they were still open to God and they were able to be led to do incredible things in their situations. How amazing would that be? And it might not look like writing world-famous books or being innovative with a random object in our prison cell, like Bunyan was, but what possibilities could lie ahead of us when we have all these resources available at our fingertips? Because as we've been hearing since the beginning of this Go series, our faith isn't bound by our circumstances, and it's never placed on hold. And so there are still ways that God can use us if we want to go with him and be attentive and available to his call. So the challenge for us this week is to go on a walk. So nothing too complicated. Go on a walk and pray that God would help you to be attentive and available to him. It doesn't have to be a long walk. It can just be, 15 minutes or so. But spend some time just praying that God might give you a desire to be used for him, even in this time. Perhaps you are after some answers about a particular situation that you're facing, and so maybe you do need to pray for a bit of guidance in that. Or maybe it's just a general sense of just wanting to find some purpose in this season and to just recommit yourself again to follow God wherever he might lead. So that's the challenge, to just go on a walk and pray that God would help you to be attentive and available to the leading of his Spirit. I mean, you might not get any super clear and direct answers from God in this time, but it's just about coming before God and saying, God, I want to be available to you, and help me to better discern the ways that you might be speaking to me and guiding me. So why don't I pray for us now to close. Lord, I thank you so much for the grand story that we hear in your word of how you sent your Spirit to us, God, to be our guide and to lead us out into various places of the world to be your witnesses. Lord, I thank you that you invite us into this journey. You invite us in as broken people who have doubts and who want to push ahead with our own way and our own agenda. But Lord, you invite us to participate in your journey and whatever that might look like. So God, I just pray for each one of us that whatever we're kind of feeling and experiencing right now, and particularly we want to get out of this situation, of course, but Lord, I pray that you might speak to us and give us comfort and reassurance and help us to find some purpose and direction in this season. That we might not just try and rush ahead and get on with things, but that you might even show us a way, even in this season, that, yeah, a way that we could be vessels for you and to be used by you to do new things, to encourage others, to stand out for you, whatever that might look like. Lord, help us to be attentive to the prompting of your Spirit and give us a desire to be available to be used by you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.